Welcome to All Sides with Ann Fisher. It is our spring membership drive. We'll get back to that in a moment. We're talking about the future of cars today. Lyft, Uber, Ford, and a slew of other auto companies have turned their sights to autonomous vehicles. And this means the cars that require no driver, only passengers. The future of transportation doesn't just mean autonomous cars, though. It could mean a transformation in transportation design and infrastructure. Giorgio Rizzoni is the director of the Center for Automotive Research at Ohio State University. He joins us. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Ann. It's great to be here.
And Vig Krishnamurthy is senior manager of City Solutions at Ford Smart Mobility. He works with cities and Ford to employ and develop emerging transportation technology. Welcome to the show.
Good morning, Ann. It's a pleasure to join you.
You know, Vig, it's not just about the vehicles, it's about the infrastructure, and that's sort of where you come in, right?
That's right. I mean, at Ford Smart Mobility, we're trying to design smart vehicles for a smart world. And so the vehicles is the connectivity and the smart vehicles, and we'll, I'm sure, talk about automation and electrification, but those vehicles need a connected infrastructure and smart world to operate in order to really get the benefits that we're going to talk about today in terms of those future technologies.
Giorgio Rizzoni, some of our, in some ways, we're connected in ways we don't really know already, right?
Yes, we certainly are. I think vehicles already, for a number of reasons, are able to connect to infrastructure at many different levels. And even in some ways know about one another's position on the road. But I think that we really need to move on to the next step. And certainly here in Columbus, one of the things that has been wonderful for us has been the Smart City competition. The city won a couple of years ago, and we are in the process of establishing infrastructure that will enable vehicles to communicate with one another, with maybe central traffic control systems, and to enable the kinds of functions that our good friends at Ford are busy implementing in their vehicles.
You know, Vig, since it's all so integrated now, it's not like you're unveiling things from year to year that nobody, it's not just about the color of the car. There are things you have to talk with other people from cities to other kinds of planners to develop the car of the future, right?
Absolutely. One of our jobs in the City Solutions Group, which I'm a part of at Ford Smart Mobility, is working one-on-one with mayor's offices, state departments of transportation, local transit agencies to understand how all these pieces are going to fit together. Many of the things that Ford is working on, like our transportation mobility cloud, are premised on the idea that it will really be better for consumers, better for society, if there are some common standards for these things to talk to each other, to work together, and really not duplicate efforts, because we see our products and services working in an ecosystem with transit buses and bike shares and electric scooters and really a whole broad range of mobility solutions for people. But those also need a system of systems, really, in terms of connectivity technology, data storage, you name it, for those things to work together and provide benefits.
You're listening to All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News. It is our spring membership drive. And remember, we are listener-supported public radio. We rely on listeners for our most important source of income. Please make your gift right now at WOSU.org or by calling 866-897-9678. Today is Tech Tuesday on 89.7 NPR News. And our special thank you gift that is available for today only is the Eaton Scorpion 2 Emergency Radio. Make a gift of $10 a month as a sustainer right now and get this gift. This radio is compact and can be easily taken anywhere. Use it in extreme outdoor conditions or while you're working in the garden. You can store the radio in your safety kit or take it on your next hike. The radio can be charged using a hand crank or solar power. It features digital AM and FM radio and the NOAA weather band. It is a water resistant radio and it has built-in flashlight and cell phone charger. Make a gift of $10 a month as a sustainer or a one-time gift of $120 and get this emergency radio. Go to WOSU.org or call 866-897-9678. Again, this gift is available for today only. Today is Tech Tuesday, and this Eaton radio is the gift for just today. Go to WOSU.org or call 866-897-9678. Thanks to Lisa Morton and Victorian House in Columbus for your pledge of support. given in memory of the late, great Bill Thompson. Also, thank you to E. Gable from Delaware for your show of support. Thanks for all of your support out there throughout the pledge drive. Now is the time to show your support. If All Sides with Ann Fisher is something that matters to you every day, if this is something, you know, you're voting with your dollar bills. You're telling us this is important to you. If you can manage the $10 a month or the $120 one-time pledge, that's great. If you can't, give it at whatever level you can manage. Every dollar counts. 866-897-9678 or go online to WOSU.org. We're talking about the future of automobiles today. We have some special guests. Vig Krishnamurthy is Senior Manager of City Solutions at Ford Smart Mobility. And Giorgio Rizzoni is the Director of the Center for Automotive Research at Ohio State. If you have a question or comment about the future of automobiles, give us a call. 614-292-8513 or email us at allsides@wosu.org. Giorgio, the idea of sharing automobiles is very big in the future, mainly because people actually don't use their cars as much as they think they do. How does that go into future designs of automobiles?
Well, that's an interesting question. I think as far as the specifics of the design, Vig should probably comment on that aspect. But I would say that from a user and consumer perspective, the notion that someday private ownership of cars will be significantly lower than it is today, I think it's a reality. We're moving in that direction. And I think if you think about it, most of us are use our vehicles a few hours a day. I don't know what the national average is, but I would guess that it's something in the neighborhood of a couple of hours a day or so. And so is it possible to make transportation more efficient and perhaps even have a favorable impact on traffic patterns and congestion by using shared mobility? And I think the answer to that is clearly yes. I think that Vig should probably say a couple of words about how that affects Ford, a company that has for, you know, more than a century sold the vehicles to private individuals.
Yeah. Vig Krishnamurthy, can we have it all? Can we do that? Can we have that shareability and get the innovation and the cars that we want in the future?
I think so, for sure. And, you know, at Ford, we've been building best-in-class vehicles for over 100 years. And one of the things I think that's unique about Ford being synonymous with the Model T, which revolutionized transportation, is that the Model T wasn't the first vehicle necessarily, mm-hmm. but it was the vehicle that revolutionized transportation in America because it was affordable to the masses. It enabled people to drive or go places further than they'd ever imagined before. You know, someone may have grown up in their neighborhood and may not have left it in their entire lifetime. And so it created a huge wave of prosperity and built the middle class through the factory jobs. And so what we're thinking about at Ford Smart Mobility and at the traditional business of Ford is how we adapt that model for the future and understand, as Giorgio was saying, there are a lot of advantages in cities in particular to share our vehicles and also have different trips on different days. So we can, you know, take a bicycle or an electric scooter one day and take a vehicle in another way. So what we're thinking about is what that shared vehicle of the future looks like and really building a purpose-built vehicle for sharing that is robust for commercial use, that has the features for multi-passenger use, that's adaptable between cargo use and passenger use maybe at the same time so that we can get more efficiency and therefore lower cost for consumers. So I think there's a lot of promise if we develop our vehicles with that sharing in mind. And there's some really exciting features that will come down the line when we launch those products.
When you talk about cargo, you're talking about vehicles as cargo, moving them separately so that you don't have to drive across the country. You could make them cargo on a high-speed rail and that kind of a thing? Or you're talking about the cargo in a car? Cargo space in a car.
I'm talking more about the cargo space in a car.
Okay.
You know, we see a lot of trends converging in terms of connectivity, where a trip that might have been a trip to the store yesterday is now a trip replaced with a package delivered to your house.
Okay.
So you don't necessarily have to go and bring yourself to the place of commerce. The commerce comes to you. And that's really changing urban transportation. We see in cities huge increases in freight delivery and some of the issues associated with freight delivery, like congestion related to vans and delivery vehicles dropping off. And so if we can build a vehicle that can be double duty, really, for passengers and for goods, I think there's a lot of promise for the sharing economy.
And the external infrastructure that would enable, for example, to reduce empty miles so that vehicles could be used on both legs of a trip, perhaps even to perform different functions, is something that would greatly enhance, first of all, efficiency, moving goods and people. But also it has a profound impact potentially on the environment, because we reducing empty miles in delivering freight or not having empty vehicles or vehicles that only have one passenger eventually reduces fuel consumption, CO2 emissions and the like.
But there's probably people out there that are having a hard time visualizing what you're talking about as far as reducing the empty miles. So say I'm driving to go get my hair cut. What's on the way back? What are you suggesting there?
Yeah, that's a good point. So from a people perspective, your shared vehicle could be utilized by others while you are getting your hair cut,
gotcha.
For example. That's
mm-hmm.
one. There is also an expression that is used in the commercial vehicle sector, which is the Uberization of freight. So today, the logistics of planning moving goods, we talked about delivery vans that deliver packages. Of course, e-shopping, e-commerce is so important to today. The information infrastructure that allows you to guarantee that every vehicle will have a load at every point in time doesn't exist today. We're building it. But imagine that in real time, as you're delivering some packages, you could also be picking up in the same neighborhood so that you're essentially maintaining a continuous load on board these vehicles.
And you're able to do that with the smart part of this all.
The smart part is what is needed. Today, logistics companies that deliver freight are still struggling with how to reduce these empty miles. And if we could do that and reduce congestion in cities at the same time, that would be a fantastic step forward.
This is 89.7 NPR News Spring Membership Drive. You're listening to All Sides with Ann Fisher. The show is made possible thanks to listener support. Do you listen to Tech Tuesday every week? Maybe you also tune in for Wellness Wednesday. We also have our weekly reporter roundtable every Monday. Very popular to keep you informed about what's going on at the State House. If you count on this show and the WOSU news team to keep you up to date on Central Ohio news, then now is the time to become a member. Go to WOSU.org or call 866-897-9678. Sometimes people say, oh, it's membership drive. Oh, no. And I was like, you know what? I look forward to membership drive. I look forward to hearing what people have to say about the show, to hear what people have to say about the radio station. It's not always 100% good, you know, but constructive criticism isn't a bad thing either. Today we're talking about my homage to Tech Tuesday, we're talking about the future of the auto in the United States. If you have a question or comment, as usual, we welcome that. 614-292-8513. But if you want to put your money where your mouth is, if you want to tell us that this is something that matters to you, then that's where the pledge part comes in. Call 866-897-9678 or go online to WOSU.org. And of course, we have a thank you gift. And today is Tech Tuesday. Our Tech Tuesday thank you gift is the Eaton Scorpion 2 Emergency Radio. I already have an Eaton radio. I think I want this one. It's exclusive for our Tech Tuesday supporters. Make a gift of $10 a month as a sustainer right now or a one-time gift of $120. Go to WOSU.org or call 866-897-9678. This radio is compact. It can be easily taken anywhere. It can be charged using a hand crank or solar power. It's water resistant. It has a built-in flashlight and cell phone charger. Make a gift of $10 a month as a sustainer or a one-time gift of $120 and get this emergency radio. Go to WOSU.org or call 866-897-9678. And again, this gift is available for today only. Today is Tech Tuesday, and this Eaton radio is the gift for just today. Go to WOSU.org or call 866-897-9678. I'm a journalist. I'm not a technologist. If you have questions that you think I might not ask today when it comes to the future of cars, give us a call, 614-292-8513, or email us at allsides@wosu.org. My guests, Vig Krishnamurthy, he's a senior manager of City Solutions at Ford Smart Mobility, and also with us, Giorgio Rizzoni, he's director of the Center for Automotive Research at Ohio State University, and thanks to David Berger from St. Louisville for your pledge. What do cities and communities want when it comes to transportation innovation, Vig?
And, I mean, I think there are some common themes that we hear across the country when we do our work engaging. And simply put, I think people really want predictability. We often don't talk about transportation when it's working, and it is very hot topic and, you know, frustrating in a very visceral way when it doesn't work. And making a trip work for people so that we can actually live our lives, have the predictability, that seamless ability to say, I want to go where I want to go and have some choice in terms of how I do that. We've built a tremendous system in the United States over the last 5 or 6 decades for the mass movement of personal automobiles. Mm-hmm. But that system also, in a way, has some limitations that we're seeing in our cities, that some expressways have divided neighborhoods in two. Or at Ford, we talk about this idea of giving the streets back to people, where in some ways the price we paid for our freedom of movement in terms of many vehicles is public squares and town squares where we used to gather are now filled with traffic. So I think the biggest secret, really, in terms of what makes all this technology-enabled transformation of mobility smart is taking back actually some of that space and giving back some of that community opportunity that we have in our transportation infrastructure to people, so that we really have that promise of freedom, but we also have, I think, sort of lesser frictions in terms of the side effects of transportation on our cities and communities.
You know, I mean, talking with somebody from Ford about how to reduce traffic on the streets feels sort of oxymoronic. And I wonder, you know, how much the ethics of the future of transportation plays into this as Ford changed. I mean, obviously, Ford has changed over time and adapted with the times. It's still here. But that had to. There had to be sort of a movement within the company to change those kind of attitudes, right? Not just pumping out more cars.
Absolutely. And I have to credit the vision and leadership of our chairman, Bill Ford, who back in 2011, this is really before Uber and Lyft happened in a big way. Chairman Ford gave a seminal TED Talk, which is still available on YouTube. You can find it. I actually listen to it myself every once in a while, once a quarter, to sort of refresh where we're going. And Chairman Ford really spoke about how his great-grandfather created this company. And on surface, you can see that it was about creating vehicles. But if you get to the root, the desire was to create that freedom, which I spoke about. And the automobile was one tool as a way to do that. But Chairman Ford realizes that if you look at the global trend of more people living in cities, you know, globally, I think we have more than half of our world's population living in cities, a planet with 8 billion people. It isn't going to be possible necessarily for everyone to own their own vehicle and move that way. And so if we look at our core value, which is freedom of movement, which is what Ford has always been about, it's really just about creating the products and services that are the right manifestation of that vision for the 21st century. And so we think it's really a great fit with where we've come from for the last 100 years and where we hope to go for many, many more years.
So is it still called Ford Motor Company?
Yes, we do have two entities, actually more than two, but we have Ford Motor Company as well as Ford Smart Mobility, which is our wholly owned subsidiary of Ford, for which I work, which we created a few years ago to really focus our efforts on mobility solutions and products for cities.
And Giorgio Rizzoni, Ford's not alone. Other companies are doing the same thing.
Of course. I think that Ford has embraced the mission of reinventing mobility in a full way, and they're doing an excellent job of creating new models and reinventing the company itself. But I think that in my role as director of a Center for Automotive Research, well, I have to say that Ford is without question one of our best partners. We work with many other companies, and I think that they're all wrestling with this idea of what are we going to be tomorrow? How will we be different? Let me shift the topic to technology a little bit. After all, that's what we do. We look into research for future technology. We've been working on a program funded by ARPA-E, an agency of the U.S. Department of Energy. The title of the program is Next Car, and there are 11 teams, some led by universities. We're one of them, that are trying to demonstrate how a smart infrastructure could assist us in our vehicles today, whether these are shared vehicles or privately owned vehicles. And what is clearly becoming apparent is that with information about what surrounds the vehicle, communication between vehicles on the road, and communications with the fixed infrastructure, such as traffic lights, for example, and public transport, it may become possible to actually make traffic smoother, less congested, and more efficient, again, through the use of information technology. Let me just simply give you a simplified example of how this might work. Let's imagine that your vehicle, as you're commuting on a given day, interacts in such a way with public transit vehicles and other privately owned vehicles, so that position and velocity of these vehicles can be controlled and homogenized, if you will, make as uniform as possible to prevent congestion. You could arrive, sort of the limit of this, if you could imagine, is imagine if your vehicle were able to control its speed so that you never came across a red traffic light.
Hallelujah.
Yeah, well, we do it. You know, if you are a driver who's conscious of what happens around your vehicle, you may be doing this already. You're on a long straightaway on a highway that crosses the city, and you see that the light in front of you is red. Maybe you'll let off the accelerator pedal and say, let me pick up speed again as the light is about to become green. Well, tomorrow, traffic lights will be communicating with us through a technology called dedicated short-range communication radios. These are relatively inexpensive things to let you know what their cycle time is when they will turn red and green. And if we were able to coordinate these activities among vehicles that are in a certain neighborhood, I really do believe that it is possible to improve traffic flows in a significant way. Now, this, of course, saves you time and saves me time, and that's a benefit. But there is an additional benefit. One of the challenges of Next Car, of this program, is can you demonstrate that you could actually reduce the fuel consumption of a vehicle in a meaningful way? Mm. And it turns out we have a demonstration vehicle that we're putting together with partners. And you can demonstrate that by behaving in a more intelligent way and letting some of these early stage automation technologies take control of the longitudinal speed of the vehicle, you could actually achieve easily 15-20% fuel economy improvements. Now, Vig will tell you immediately that if he goes to their engine chief engineer and says, hey, give me 20% improvement in your engine fuel economy, he would be shut out of that conversation very quickly, because I think it violates a few laws of physics. So my point is that connectivity, the smart city infrastructure, and intelligence in vehicles will be able to accomplish a lot in the future.
Vig, agreed?
Oh, absolutely. And Giorgio, you know, we actually are aiming for all our new models as of 2022 and onward to have full connectivity capabilities in order to start realizing some of these potentials. You know, I think we can, Giorgio sort of laid it out, there's the vehicle communication. And so that is why we're making that commitment, you know, pending the neutral regulatory environment on the technology, to have connectivity in our vehicles so we can start getting some of those benefits on day one from vehicles talking to each other. But then there is that infrastructure investment required to really get the next level of benefit, which is the ability to talk to the traffic signal, for example. And we'll have to work together with our public agencies to make sure we see that deployed.
Are you watching things like Smart City for what comes out of that?
Oh, absolutely. In fact, we've been lucky to be closely involved with the Smart Columbus Initiative, bringing our researchers in and our experts on product and smart cities to help advise them with some design thinking workshops and going out in the community and talking to people, riding the bus, trying the apps and modes so that we can use our best product designers and researchers to help inform the work that's happening with Smart Columbus and the solutions that they're building for smart apps, connected vehicles, everything within that grant program.
I'll add that in the context of Smart Columbus, of course, one of the beginning platforms that was already in existence is the C-MAX bus route that goes up and down Cleveland Avenue. And we've been in the process of investigating, together with a commercial vehicle company, the possibility that in a future in which you have these rapid transit, public transit solutions where buses have right-of-way priority with respect to lights and intersections and traffic, that there may be the opportunity to blend into the special corridors also the delivery of freight. So you could imagine that with appropriate logistics consideration and appropriate information being shared, that delivery trucks that are coming into the city may also perhaps purchase priority access so that they can get their freight to some specific designated points, which still leaves then the last mile delivery solution. And there are so many intelligent and creative ideas that are being considered today to do that.
How much does the idea of automation figure into all of this? Obviously, we have everything talking to each other. That's not requiring human intervention or necessarily, but is our autonomous vehicles a big part of all of this, Giorgio?
I think automation is a part of it. I think that the day when we will reach full automation for vehicles that will truly be able to work as automated vehicles wherever and whenever, that day is pretty far. Mm-hmm. But the auto industry has already demonstrated the partial automation features, such as the ability to stay within a lane, to regulate its longitudinal speed, to do this very safely. And I think this early stage automation features are going to be a very important part of all this. Now, Vic maybe can say a few more things about how Ford is viewing vehicle automation, because they are very far ahead in this space.
Before he does, I want to say thanks to Rob Hurd from Columbus for your pledge of support. This is 89.7 NPR News Spring Membership Drive. You're listening to All Sides with Ann Fisher, just like you probably do every day. This show, as you know, is dedicated to telling the stories of Central Ohio, of Ohio, and the nation. We talk about the issues impacting your life in Columbus and beyond. Support a two-hour talk show that is truly local with a gift right now. Go to WOSU.org or call 866-897-9678. And in honor of Tech Tuesday, we don't have our typical Tech Tuesday today, but we do have a show about the future of automobility in the United States. And our Tech Tuesday thank you gift is the Eaton Scorpion 2 Emergency Radio. The gift is exclusive for our Tech Tuesday supporters today only. Make a gift of $10 a month as a sustainer right now, or a one-time gift of $120. Go to WOSU.org or call 866-897-9678. If the radio is compact, it can be easily taken anywhere. It can be charged using a hand crank or solar power. It's water resistant. It has a built-in flashlight and cell phone charger. All that's missing is the bottle opener. Make a gift of $10 a month as a sustainer or a one-time gift of $120 and get this emergency radio. Go to WOSU.org or call 866-897-9678. Again, this gift is available for today only. Today is Tech Tuesday. This is Eaton Radio is the gift for just for today. Go to WOSU.org or call 866-897-9678. That's 866-897-9678. And Vig, go ahead. I mean, what will that look like?
And I mean, I think when we talk about automation or highly automated driving systems, sometimes we all in our minds want to jump to the Jetsons like vision of the future where
the flying cars we were all promised. Yeah.
That's yeah. Right. But the way we're looking at it at Ford, and I urge, policymakers and other people thinking about this to think of autonomy in this way is what are the benefits? What are we really trying to achieve? And what are the possibilities of the technology? And we have great engineers and researchers through our partnership with Argo AI and our people at Ford itself working on the technology. But what I'm more focused on is really the use cases and what this can enable. One example on this continuum towards automation, as Georgia said, there's sort of little things that we can do now, which are actually quite impactful, is pedestrian detection. So bringing technology into the car using cellular connectivity that is coming in 2022 that could actually detect a person or perhaps a bicycle or a scooter in the road and make meaningful impacts on safety. I mean, that's a huge issue in cities. We hear that the drive to Vision Zero, that is eliminating serious traffic fatalities or deaths or injuries to people, we could really make some progress there.
I just wonder, when you talk about cellular technology in this way, are you talking about the fact that everybody has a smartphone, or are you talking about sensors that just sensor movement somewhere?
It is really the former.
Okay.
That is, we see this massive trend of, as you said, everyone has a cell phone, but also bringing that same technology into the vehicle itself. So, as I mentioned, in 2022, Ford's pledge to bring cellular technology into the vehicle allows this instant communication, just like how you and I can talk to each other by dialing a number, mm-hmm. using that cellular bandwidth for the vehicle and the cell phone in my pocket to talk to each other, or essentially the cell phone in one vehicle and the other to talk together to each other. And we think because that technology is highly proven, there's a large market penetration already in terms of the people who have phones, we'll be able to get really impressive and meaningful benefits soon. The other side, though, to the equation, I think, really is the autonomous vehicle business model. And Ford is investing a lot of time and effort into understanding what business models and what sustainable business models autonomous vehicles will be able to enable, and also the human interface with autonomous vehicles. So in Miami, one of our AV beachhead cities, we're working with commercial partners to test things like, what is the experience like of actually getting your pizza delivered by an autonomous vehicle? How do you instruct someone to actually get it out of a car where there's a driver? We're working on testing those types of things with actually regular cars where you can black out the windows and such, so that we aren't just going to develop a technology and then say, well, now what do we do with it? But we're really trying to put our thinking caps on and develop credible ideas and credible business models that will enable the technology to really benefit businesses, benefit people, and sustain itself in an economically feasible way.
I was mentioning earlier the idea that partial levels of automation can be quite helpful in assisting us in simple tasks. And imagine now a situation where you're driving downtown to go to the theater in the evening, and you know that parking is always a challenge, right? So imagine a vehicle that is sufficiently autonomous that while you might drive it downtown, it would know the surroundings of the downtown area so that it could park itself and come and pick you up at the exit of the theater when you're done upon being called. This is a level of automation that the Society of Automotive Engineers would call level 4. In other words, the vehicle is capable of being fully autonomous, but in a confined, well-defined setting. For example, downtown Columbus. It knows the parking garages. It knows the streets around all the theaters and the arena district and so on. That kind of vision is not too far out, and I'd be interested in hearing what Vig thinks about, an application like this.
Yeah, Vig, solving our parking headaches.
Yeah, I think that's an interesting use case. That vision which you articulate, Giorgio, I think, is More applicable probably to a personally owned vehicle.
Yes.
You know, that it would be my car that I need to go put somewhere when I'm doing my activity and then have come back to me. I think the maybe difference in where our autonomous strategy is headed for 2021 when we are planning to have a commercial deployment in select cities of that type of autonomous vehicle is more on a shared and fleet-based model where we're not necessarily trying to match that vehicle back to a particular individual. We have a larger fleet of capable vehicles that can perhaps take you to that movie, but then, as we talked about earlier, go and do another task. From multiple perspectives, we think this is a winning strategy because from the business side, having that utilization, multiple trips, packages being delivered, it makes economic sense. There's more revenue there, and that's an alignment where we, as a society, don't want these empty miles that we talked about earlier. And as a business, we're not making revenue on those either. So we see that with a shared model, it being more compelling, really, from a social perspective and a business perspective for those first demonstrations of the technology. Application.
Yep.
Thanks to Michelle Meyer from Columbus. And Michelle says she loves to listen to NPR. Also, thanks to Ed Thomas from Baltimore. Thanks for your pledge of support. You're listening to All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News. And this is our spring membership drive. Please make your gift right now and support this nonprofit public service radio station. Give at WOSU.org or by calling 866-897-9678. Today is Tech Tuesday on 89.7 NPR News. Regular listeners to All Sides with Ann Fisher know that every week we talk about the latest technology news during Tech Tuesday. And today the entire radio station is picking up on our Tech Tuesday theme. The special thank you gift that is available for today only is the Eaton Scorpion 2 Emergency Radio. So make a gift of $10 a month as a sustainer right now and get this gift. This radio is compact. It can be easily taken anywhere. Use it in extreme outdoor conditions or keep it handy for when your power goes out. The radio can be charged using a hand crank or solar power. It features digital AM and FM radio and the NOAA weather band. It's a water resistant and has built-in flashlight and cell phone charger. Make a gift of $10 a month as a sustainer or a one-time gift of $120 and get this emergency radio. Go to WOSU.org or call 866-897-9678. Show support for the shows and the station that you listen to every day. If you're a big Tech Tuesday fan, I've made it happen so that we could at least keep the theme going today, if not the same regular format. If this is important to you, the way you vote for that is with your dollars. It's with your support. You could become a member at any level. You don't have to do the $10 a month. It could be $5 a month. It could be less. Give us what you can afford and show your support. Become a member today. I promise you'll feel very, very good about it. 614-292-8513 is the number to call if you have a question or comment about the future of automobility in the United States. 866-897-9678 is the number to call if you want to show your support for the kind of work we do here at 89.7 NPR News and the kind of guests we bring to you every day, just like today. You last heard from Vig Krishnamurthy. He's Senior Manager of City Solutions at Ford Smart Mobility. He's on by phone. And with me here in the studio, Giorgio Rizzoni, Director of the Center for Automotive Research at Ohio State University. Again, questions, 614-292-8513. We have about 15 minutes left in the program. Let's shoot for 10 more pledges before the end of the hour. 866-897-9678 or go online to WOSU.org. Help me help you with the best kind of programming we can bring you every single day. Go to WOSU.org or 866-897-9678. I want to talk about what I always want to talk about when it comes to cars, and that's what it's going to look like. Mm-hmm. Is that something, Giorgio Rizzoni, with all of the smart technology, all of the autonomous issues out there, do you even talk about looks anymore?
Well, I think the looks of a car are absolutely critical, and its functionality, whether it's a shared vehicle or a personally owned one, it has to be functional, whether it's to deliver people or goods to places. And I think a vehicle has to be appealing,
right? Will it still be a status symbol?
That's an interesting question. And I give you my sort of word as a parent of three grown children, and I can tell you that while my kids, having grown up in a very automotive household, that's what I do, they still, you know, use automobiles, private automobiles, but I think that their passion for cars is not the same that I had when I was their age.
It didn't define you. It wasn't an emblem.
Exactly. Okay. I really, truly don't think that it's quite as much of a defining factor as it used to be when I was in my late teens or in my 20s. You know, that was really a status symbol, and you would do a lot to have the car that you thought represented your personality, okay? Mm-hmm. So I think that is changing, and I think that the younger generations are much more readily adopting shared mobility or hailed mobility than my generation would. I'm still a little bit struggling with the Uber, Lyft kinds of things. You know, if I'm absolutely forced to, I will do it, but I'm still kind of tied to my car.
You like to be in control, or you like it to be your car.
But I think newer generations are much more open to that, and I think that this is something that I'm sure Ford is considering in the design of their vehicles and how they're sort of envisioning their business models for the future.
Vig Krishnamurthy, how's that changing, the looks of the car and the kind of energy you put into that part of it and that status symbol part?
Sure. And, I mean, with our shared vehicles, as I mentioned, that are going to be purpose-built and coming out, I think there are some exciting, what we're calling white space silhouettes. They're very interesting shapes that are really being conceived from the ground up for a shared use type of scenario. The Sergio mentioned Uber and Lyft, and they've been very successful in terms of particularly attracting younger people in terms of using both services, perhaps rather than owning their own vehicle. But the vehicles that are in the fleet right now for those services were never really designed for commercial use, for high-intensity pickup and drop-off in terms of loading and how that experience works for the individual, even the size of the windows, for example. Little details like that that really make or shape the experience. And so when I think about status and the automobile, and there are a lot of culture in the United States around that, the way I think about it is it's really more about the intangibles, and status is maybe one of those intangibles. But there are a lot of other intangibles, I think, that will be relevant in the future with vehicles, like how comfortable the experience is. And so one of the things we're doing, for example, with our autonomous vehicle, the self-driving system that is the technological brain behind it, is naturalistic driving behavior, so that the feel of how the vehicle accelerates and brakes and turns and changes lanes is comfortable to people and doesn't, you know, cause motion sickness or any kind of unintended consequences. And I think those will be very important. And those are the details that will make a successful autonomous business or a technology-enabled business. And they're in that category of intangibles where on the surface we still maybe think that it's as easy as pressing a button and something shows up and you get into it. But thinking that level deeper. With the private vehicle, I think that's where the status is rooted, really. It's in some other kinds of intangibles around it. Yes, it's transportation, but it's also this large investment of money that I'm making. And so with that come all the elements of style and performance that you we know about. But I think those will change when it's a transaction that you make on a daily basis. And so where you don't necessarily have that upfront investment of your money, what we look for, I think, will be slightly different as a human being.
Thanks to James Bryant from New Albany for your pledge of support. We have about 10 minutes left to go and 9 more pledges to go. Be one of the 9, 866-897-9678, or go online to WOSU.org. Be part of the bridge of knowledge that we bring to you every day. Be part of the solution to the challenges of sharing and passing on knowledge, like we are today with Vig Krishnamurthy of Ford Smart Mobility and Giorgio Rizzoni of the OSU Automotive Center for Automotive Research. Be part of the solution, 866-897-9678, or go online to WOSU.org and show your support for 89.7 NPR News. You both have gotten into this a little bit, but I wondered where safety figures into the equation at this point. So much of the cars in my lifetime, so much of the innovation has come in the form of safety, from just better. I mean, I grew up where you were ramp, you know, as a kid, you know, bouncing around in the back seat with no seatbelt. So a lot has changed. We take it for granted. Is that figured in as well, Giorgio Rizzoni?
Of course. In fact, I would argue that the evolution of the autonomous vehicle dates back to a lot of intelligent solutions that have evolved over the past 30 years. I'll give you some examples. Today, anti-lock brake systems are regulated by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration. Every automaker has to provide that technology, which has increased safety of vehicles immensely. Similarly, electronic stability control systems. Your vehicle today cannot lose control of your car because it has these intelligent systems that reestablish its stability should you ever begin to slip or slide on a snowy or wet road, for example. We have, Vig was talking about pedestrian detection systems. We have vehicles that today have some limited automated braking capabilities. So the way I think about it is that the auto industry have been steadily and judiciously incorporating automated features in their vehicles to enhance safety. Ultimately, the goal that we have is that someday vehicles will be fully or nearly fully automated, and eventually we'll get to the zero traffic fatalities, zero accidents. So I guarantee you that in the minds of the automakers, the issue of safety is paramount. Let me also add that here in Central Ohio, there is a research facility operated on our Transportation Research Center about 40 miles from here. It's called the Vehicle Research and Test Center, and it is the only experimental test facility the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration has in the U.S. So just here in our neighborhood is where the Department of Transportation determines the safety of these new features, helps automakers, working with automakers, helps develop regulations that will progressively introduce more and more safety features. So that is really fundamental. And I think that we're aiming for a world in which we'll have zero emissions, zero fatalities, zero congestion. That's where we would like to go.
Vig Krishnamurthy, how do we get there, though, with every accident with using, you know, is caused by an autonomous vehicle? I know a lot of them are in testing, that kind of a thing. It seems like the support for that technology wavers. How do you get there until without just making a leap and a leap of faith?
Sure. And I mean, first of all, I think I'll reiterate what Giorgio said and what you teed up, which is that the safety benefits and potential of these types of technologies is perhaps the paramount driver for this kind of work and research and investment that the industry is making. In the last couple of decades, those tremendous advances in vehicle safety, which Giorgio mentioned, have largely been on the vehicle for the occupants of the vehicle, the braking systems, the airbags, improvements in seatbelts, crashworthiness. Where I think the promise lies with connectivity in particular, and automation enabled by that connectivity, is benefits then to society, that the features and investments and technology on the vehicle are really helping others on the road, that is collision avoidance or, as I mentioned earlier, pedestrian detection. And so we have a safety system that is broader than just the benefits being on that vehicle for that vehicle. In terms of getting there, we really, in our autonomous technology development and testing, have a lot of protocols in place in order to ensure that it is a absolutely safe process. But getting the vehicles on the road, I think, is actually a big part. It's not making that leap necessarily, but for example, in Columbus on the Skagit Mile, I believe there's now an autonomous vehicle low-speed demonstration system there.
Right.
And I think that takes some of the fear factor away, where you can go in and touch and feel and understand what this experience is. It's not just something that we talk about, you know, on this show or read about in a magazine. And that will help, I think, create trust and accelerate adoption. And that's part of our strategy at Ford, is really trying to socialize these systems and communicate the benefits and show people and enable them to experience it so that it becomes more accepted.
You're listening to All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News. It is our spring membership drive. Please make your gift right now. Support this nonprofit public service radio station. Consider what fits into your budget. Go to WOSU.org or call 866-897-9678. Make a gift today for Tech Tuesday, and you can get the Eaton Scorpion 2 emergency radio as a gift. The radio is compact. You can bring it, keep it in your emergency kit. You can put it, use a carabiner to hook it to your backpack. You can charge the radio using a hand crank, and it is also solar powered. This radio is the perfect thing to keep handy for spring rainstorms. Keep it nearby for when the power goes out. It happens once in a while around here. So you can listen to the radio, and it also has a built-in cell phone charger. Make a gift of $10 a month as a sustainer or a one-time gift of $120 and get this radio. Go to WOSU.org or call 866-897-9678. Giorgio Rizzoni, I guess my final question is, how much, you know, even as I'm reading that, keeping it handy for spring rainstorms, because we lose power a lot around here. We have so many trees and there's lots of natural disasters that occur. How much of the infrastructure, how do we, if we become dependent on this future vision of automobiles and connectivity, what happens when the power goes out?
I think that there are many. This is one angle. There are many angles we are working on. One of them is to make our electric power infrastructure more resilient, using distributed power generation and ensuring that we're not dependent on a single source. And that's a long road. The electric utility companies are working hard on it. The second thing that we really need to think about is also the issue of cybersecurity. Mm-hmm. And that is an important concern, which consumes a lot of time in the minds of the automotive engineering designers, us researchers in universities. And so there is no question that there are some potholes along the way that we'll need to avoid and fill in. But I assure you that we are cognizant of these issues and they're being looked after.
Giorgio Rizzoni, Director of the Center for Automotive Research at Ohio State, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you, Anna. Pleasure.
And Vig Krishnamurthy, Senior Manager of City Solutions at Ford Smart Mobility, thanks to you as well. I appreciate your time.
Thank you, Anna. It's a pleasure.
Remember, it is our spring membership drive. Consider what fits into your budget. Go to WOSU.org or call 866-897-9678. Tell us that you think this matters in your life. Tell us that it does matter in your life. This is when you vote for what matters. 89.7 NPR News. Go to 866-897-9678 or go online to WOSU.org. It takes just a minute. 2 minutes, maybe at most, of your time to get the job done, to show your support. 866-897-9678 or go online to WOSU.org. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News.
WOSU Public Media's newest podcast series, Rivet, young people share their unique pathways to professional success. Listen to This American Graduate Project. Find Rivet now in WOSU's mobile app or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.